U.S. Senator Maggie Hassan joining us via cell phone. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. And a lot of people, Neil Levesque from St. Anselm College is going to be joining us. He said he watched some Netflix last night and he woke up and his phone was blowing up this morning with the story of the Politico leaked document of the majority draft. It's a draft only, but it's sending a lot of ripples across the political lakes and oceans and streams, as you know, this morning on Roe versus Wade. And your reaction to the Supreme Court draft and the Politico leaked draft?
Well, first of all, just taking a step back, this is about whether women have the rights in a democracy to make their own decisions about their health care, about if and when to have a family, about what kind of future they want to have and they want their families to have. And so this is about a fundamental right, and it is really concerning if this is, in fact, the decision of the court, and it's a decision that stands. This overturns Roe v. Wade. It overturns the Casey case as well, and it will be a very scary and difficult time for women who confront an unwanted or unplanned pregnancy.
Does what New Hampshire's done locally, the legislature here and the governor, does this make abortion, in your mind, a bigger issue in the midterm elections?
Well, what the legislature in New Hampshire and the governor did last spring was really contrary to a longstanding bipartisan support in New Hampshire for a woman's right to make her own decisions and enjoy her own liberty, right? And it is very concerning. We have legislation at the federal level that would codify Roe v. Wade. It has been unconscionable that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have blocked an up or down vote on that legislation. The vast majority of Americans and Granite Staters support a woman's freedom. And it's going to be very, very important moving forward that we elect more people who will support what the majority view is in the United States, which is that women should be able to make their own health care decisions. I am obviously concerned and will make the contrast that all of my opponents support an anti-choice agenda. They would support the McConnell anti-choice agenda, and that Chuck Morrison, Kevin Smith in particular, have really highlighted that they don't support a woman's right to make her own health care decisions, and I certainly will make that distinction going forward.
Another area of distinction, Senator, you released a pretty big ad yesterday, a new ad in your campaign, a new message, calling for a suspension of the national gas tax as energy prices continue to soar, and actually calling on the Biden administration to release more of the emergency oil reserves. Can you comment on that? And your opponents have called that a gimmick.
Oh, look, people are really struggling with inflation right now. They are struggling with the price at the pump. People need to be able to drive. They need to be able to fill up their tanks. And this is a straightforward way of lowering the cost at the pump in the short term for people as they try to make ends meet. We also need to continue to push the administration to increase the supply of oil in the ways with the levers it has. I'll also continue to push big oil to increase the supply and stop using their record profits for stock buybacks as opposed to giving consumers relief at the pump. We know that gas prices have been exacerbated by the recovery from the pandemic. We know that the war has exacerbated gas prices. So it's up to us to find ways to lower people's costs, and I'll continue to work to do that, whether it's prices at the pump or whether it's the price of prescription drugs.
One of the areas of energy, before we move on, Senator Maggie Hassan, good morning, New Hampshire, this Tuesday morning. Senator, thanks for being with us. Is one of the areas of energy exploration, I believe, is set to expire on July 1st, and that would be offshore energy exploration. You're bucking your own party on some of this stuff. Would you be open to keeping that, exploring that, to keep it open possibly or not?
Look, what I have focused on is the fact that the oil industry currently has 9,000 permitted but untapped wells. They have the capacity they need right now to increase the supply of oil in this country if they choose to do it. And right now they are choosing record profits. And right now what I'm hearing from my opponents and from Republicans in Washington is that they will stand with big oil in trying to push a long-term big oil agenda rather than push big oil to increase the supply right now, which it has the opportunity to
right.
do. Which would bring people relief at the pump. So right now, this is about how do you lower costs at the pump, and how do you lower other costs like the cost of prescription drugs or childcare for people too. So, and that's a real difference between where I've stood for Granite Staters and where my opponents stand.
You've sort of bucked the Biden administration somewhat on this, talking about domestic energy sources and production. Do you think the Biden administration in the first year was too aggressive against more domestic production of oil and gas or not?
What I know is that there are 9,000 permitted wells that big oil has in the United States that it is not tapping. And I think the other thing that we have to focus on is being independent, not only from big oil, but from foreign countries. And that means while also increasing the supply of oil and bringing down the price at the pump with things like suspension of gas taxes, we also need to pivot to a clean energy economy, which creates jobs here at home and makes us independent from foreign countries and big oil.
Senator Maggie Hassan, last week, President Biden, I can't remember the day, was talking about forgiving student loans for more than $10,000. It's a very controversial, hot-button issue. Are you in favor of greater student loan, forgiving of debt beyond $10,000, or do you think that's something that is, given other sources of borrowing money that, if people take out a loan, they should pay it? Where are you at on that?
What I have focused on is trying to lower the cost of higher education overall, giving people options in their post-high school education so that, for instance, they can get college credits before they graduate from high school at no cost, making sure that people have choices and could refinance their student loans, and overall lowering the cost and making sure that when it comes to for-profit predatory colleges, we make sure that we're shutting those down and that students have options to pursue bankruptcy if they need to when it comes to student debt. But at the end of the day, I think it's really important to focus on lowering the overall cost of borrowing and lowering the overall cost of higher education. Doing things like raising the Pell Grant, which I've done, making sure that the Pell Grant would be accessible not just for four-year college programs, but for high-quality apprenticeships, too, and making sure that people have options and choices moving forward.
Senator, things are quite, as you know, politically divisive in Washington and around the country, and this morning we're seeing that on certain issues. But you recently received a recognition from the Lugar Center on being a bipartisan senator. I think 48 bills introduced. Is that something you think is going to resonate well in the midterms?
Well, I'm proud that the Lugar Center just named me the most bipartisan senator in the United States Senate. I'm proud that in each of the 48 bills I introduced last year, I got a Republican co-sponsor, because I think that reflects the way Granite Staters go about things. We don't go to work wanting to start a political argument every day. We don't ask people what their politics are when we're trying to solve problems together. That's something we saw, for instance, in the pandemic time and time again, right? People helping each other, regardless of whether they were a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. And what I work on doing is finding common ground, because I think that is essential to good policy. I think it is also essential to the foundation of our democracy. And so I'm honored by the Lugar Center's recognition. I'm particularly proud of a couple of the bills that have been signed into law, the Stand Up Act, which makes sure that we're providing evidence-based mental health services to our kids in schools, and also the law that provides for cybersecurity grants for state and local governments, which I think makes a real difference in our nation's security. So I'll keep working to do what Granite Staters do every day, which is work with each other and put differences aside to get things done.
Senator, before we let you go on Friday's show, I had Governor Sununu on, and one of the questions I asked him was, now that this race for the U.S. Senate of Republicans in the primary is well underway, and he looked seriously at running and chose not to, and instead, as you know, is seeking a fourth term as governor, a Republican governor in New Hampshire, I asked the governor to assess the Republican field, namely Don Boldick, Kevin Smith, you referred to a moment ago, Chuck Morse, Dr. Vikram Manchuramani, and I asked him about Corey Lewandowski, who's a confidant of former President Donald Trump, really trying to, kind of pre-sell Wendy Stone Long, who is a New Hampshire resident, went to Dartmouth, and she ran for the U.S. Senate in New York State, you're probably aware, twice. And she, is basically called into the show as well, but unscheduled. But the governor, when I asked him about this, he He went on to say that you're done in November no matter what, was his quote. You're done in November, not going to get reelected, that whoever wins the primary will win. But he called Wendy Wong a carpetbagger from New York. She's not in the race yet. But how do you respond to the governor saying that you're done and whoever wins that Republican primary is going to be the next senator?
Well, just first of all, I think it's kind of interesting that just about every day it seems like there's another person kind of moving to New Hampshire or deciding to use New Hampshire as a launching pad for their Senate career. My job is to represent the people of New Hampshire, and I have won tough races before. I think it's really, really important that we are out talking with every single person in New Hampshire, in the communities where they live, about what's important to them. I'm proud of the support that I've already garnered from people in almost every community in New Hampshire. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that I'm listening to the priorities of people in New Hampshire and getting the work done that they prioritize and ask me to do in the way that they would go about doing it. And I think my record reflects that I've been doing that. And that's the case I'll bring to people in New Hampshire this fall. The great thing about New Hampshire is that voters expect you to make your case each and every time you're up for election, and they deserve a robust debate about the issues that are important. Right now, we need to continue to work together as we recover from this pandemic. We have made some progress, but there is a lot more work to do. And we also need to come together to protect our fundamental freedoms, including a woman's right to make her own healthcare decisions and to stand for democracy at home and abroad, as the people of Ukraine are doing right now with their lives. Right. And so, you know, I will continue to fight for the things that are important to Granite Staters, and I hope to win re-election.
Senator Maggie Hassett joining us live on Good Morning New Hampshire. Thank you, Senator.